Well, last week, a video surfaced of the attacks on the Twin Towers on 9/11. Twitter users posted this video as if it was brand new, never seen before. It might have been never seen for many of us. Turns out that's not true. This video was not new at all. It was broadcast years ago on television. But why was it buried? And what does it show us? And why has it suddenly surfaced during the same week that President Biden steps down from running for re-election, President Trump is nearly assassinated and gives a speech at the RNC. This news surfaces during that same week. It is curious. Indeed, Ted Walter, he's the executive director for the International Center for 9/11 Justice. He's dedicated his life to getting answers for the families and the victims of 9/11. He's also the director of Peace, War, and 9/11, which is available on their channel, a documentary you can watch. And Ted joins us now. No better authority on this probably in the world to dissect this video. Now, the video, Ted, has been viewed like 50 million times. And of course, it was put out there as this is brand new video. But can you explain to our audience, is this video new or just resurfaced?
Yeah. So as I was analyzing the video, I discovered that it actually had aired before, at least about 10 seconds or so, showing the collapse of the South Tower, which was the first building to go down on 9/11. So that little segment has aired on Sky News and a Washington, D.C. affiliate of CBS. However, the filmmaker or the videographer, Kei Sugimoto, released about 57 minutes of footage. And so most of that has never been seen before, and it contains a lot of valuable information. And the portion of the South Tower that had been seen before is also now, we have it in a much better quality, so we can actually see a lot more things that we couldn't see before. So it is pretty significant.
Now, we should point out, of course, your position, I think our position here at Redacted, is that this was a controlled demolition of the towers and that these airplanes were not the reason these towers came down. Is that an accurate description of your position on this?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, the evidence overwhelmingly demonstrates that the Twin Towers, as well as World Trade Center Building 7, were brought down by controlled demolition. So, and this video certainly confirms that in numerous ways.
All right, let's talk about it. So let's get into it. So this new video that people have never seen before, a large portion of it, confirms a controlled demolition of the towers on 9/11. Can you go through some of the points here that you'd like to make and we can call out? What caught your eye kind of looking at this new footage?
Yeah, so I think the thing that stood out to most people when they saw this was the flashes that are very visible. Particularly, there's a line of flashes on the lower portion of the building as the top starts to go down. I would also love to draw people's attention to a very bright flash that occurs further up on the building. And this is on the northeast corner of the South Tower. And when you think about it, there's no reason for a flash, a bright flash, if this is just a natural building collapse, to be occurring well above the impact zone or well above where where the collapse is actually happening. But we see this bright flash, and we also see structural damage to the corner of the building very close to it. And so naysayers will say, well, those are just, who knows what that is? That's just the sun reflecting off the windows. Well, we know that this is actually something else other than that. We think that it's a demolition charge because you can actually identify the same flash in numerous videos. If you line up the videos and you can do this carefully and line them up. And we actually just published a paper 2 months ago in the Journal of 9/11 Studies that has done this meticulous analysis that shows that this particular flash can be seen in numerous videos. So there's no way that if it's a reflection from the sun off of a window that you're going to see that same flash at that same moment from numerous angles. It can only be seen from one angle. And so we get this bright flash. And so you can look at the video of that. I've provided that video so your viewers can see it. We've kind of pointed out where that flash is. And very close to that flash, kind of where the arrow is pointing, you also see structural damage being done to the corner of the building. Again, if you have the top that's falling and it's a rigid block, right, and the damage that should be done to that portion of the building should be at the bottom. Why is there structural damage being inflicted upon a part of the building that's it's 10 or 15 stories higher, right? And so we've, in that paper I mentioned in the Journal of 9/11 Studies, by a researcher named Soren Korsgaard, he looks at that damage from a few different angles. Now that we have this video, we can really see that damage even much better. It's basically a big hole in the corner of the building. So if it's just window light reflecting off of windows, it's not going to cause damage, to that kind of damage to the building. But so we see that severe structural damage associated with the flash and a couple flashes way above the impact zone. So
this can really confirms what you've already seen. I mean, that's powerful, right? I mean, even without this video, you were able to determine that there were charges going off above where we were supposed to have this impact zone.
Yes. Yes. So the, and I provided a second video for your viewers to see where it's another video where the researcher Soren Korsgaard identified this flash from another angle. And this is filmed by a guy named Anthony Rosario. And I mean, you can see the flash there very brightly. Notice that you can't see it in the, you can't see the damage to the building as well because it's from a different angle. But what that shows you is that this flash actually was a very three-dimensional event. It wasn't just, it was sticking out far from the building, right? So the new footage helps us really confirm, solidify what we knew, and it provides a much better view of the actual damage. And of course, shows the video to tens of millions of people who've now seen it.
For someone who's just learning about this for the first time, wait a minute, there were demolition charges that brought down the towers? There are all sorts of eyewitnesses, firefighters, police officers, eyewitnesses who confirmed explosions and demolition charges going off, did they not?
Absolutely, yeah. So there's upwards of 200 eyewitness accounts of explosions going off during the collapse of the towers. The great majority of them are first responders, such as firefighters or Port Authority police officers, but also, you know, several dozen news reporters. In fact, I co-authored a paper where we identified 36 reporters who basically described the collapse of the buildings as being an explosion or being brought down by explosives or that sort of thing, or seeing, you know, explosions running down the face of the building. So there's overwhelming wealth of eyewitness evidence that explosions were taking place.
And of course, Building 7, which people said, it was collateral damage, basically hit by the falling Twin Towers. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. And that it collapsed with, again, demolition charges, it appears, separate from the Twin Towers. It was not touched by the Twin Towers collapse at all. Am I right?
There was some damage done to the south face of the building, which was the face of Building 7 that was facing the towers. But it was, I won't call it minor damage because that will seem like I'm trying to downplay it. But NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which conducted the official investigation into the collapse of all three buildings, concluded that the damage to the building didn't actually contribute to the collapse. The damage, it was all due to fires. And that even if that damage had not taken place, if the fires had just traveled through the same fires had traveled through the building, they would have brought the building down anyway, allegedly. So all that the debris from the North Tower allegedly did was start these fires. That's even a question if the debris could have started those fires. Many researchers believe that the fires were set intentionally around noon in order to have a cover story for why the building would go down.
And what was in Building 7?
Oh, so good question. There were many government agencies, federal agencies, as well as a city agency inside the building. And we're talking about, you know, the Secret Service, the FBI, the CIA, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which was at the time conducting very important investigations into the WorldCom and Enron scandals. And then you had the Emergency Operations Center for the Office of Emergency Management of New York City that was installed just a couple years before 9/11 on the 23rd floor. And so, you know, it's very suspicious that the Emergency Operations Center was evacuated so quickly on the morning of 9/11. And there's well-known eyewitness accounts of explosions. Two men who tried to go up to the 23rd floor, found it deserted, tried to make their way back down, and witnessed explosions when they got to around the eighth floor of the building. And this, the official story tries to say that that was actually just the North Tower collapsing onto the building. But we have when you look at the timeline for their account, there's no way that they would have only made it down to the eighth floor at 10:28 when the North Tower collapsed. It clearly happened much earlier, and they both clearly reported explosions. And we have actual reports of significant structural damage inside of Building 7, elevator cars being ejected from their shafts. So that's not going to be caused by debris hitting the outside of the building. You got an elevator car sitting 40 feet outside of its shaft. That means basically an explosion pushed that elevator car out of the shaft.
Wow. Yeah, it's very convenient, all of the documents and things that were scorched in the collapse of Building 7 in these investigations. Very, very interesting. So I want to go back to the video here before we get you out of here, Ted. So we talked about the flashing. What else stood out to you about this new footage that's emerged?
Yeah, so there's other really interesting things you can see. I think there was a very good view of a squib, or, you know, an expulsion of debris and air that occurred just below the impact zone, really before the top of the building started come down. And my friend and colleague, Richard Gage, made that observation, or his team made that observation and put it out on his social media. And so you can see the video of that, which I provided for your audience. And then I found a second video. Once I saw that, I was like, wow, found a second video of that. There's just no reason for a squib to be starting to shoot out of the building before the top begins to come down. And really, you had a massive hole in the building, right, where the plane went in. So there's no reason that air would be pushed out of nearby parts of the building. If the top starts to come down, the air will just be pushed out the hole. And yet you've got this squib shooting out of the southeast corner of the South Tower, right about as the building starts to go down. So you can see that from a few different angles. I think the other really fascinating thing, and this goes to the sort of the historical significance of this video, and Kei Sugimoto releasing it, is his friends who watched the first tower go down. And then when people that they were with started asking them about it, they all said, oh, we think it went down. It was an explosion. We think, and one of the witnesses said, yeah, I don't think it was the fires. And so I think that's a real, you know, there are numerous other examples of that. People who were recording the event, but watching it outdoors, who were not that far away, who that's what they perceived as soon as it the building came down. And, you know, your viewers can watch a couple of those videos, which I also provided. They're very powerful. And I think it's significant because it shows people, oh yeah, the original interpretation of what happened, the dominant view of most people who actually watched this event, who were close to it, who were eyewitnesses, they interpreted it as an explosion or as some kind of a demolition or the building blowing up. They did not interpret this as a natural building collapse. And I think that's for people that are coming to this for the first time, it helps to realize that this theory, quote unquote theory, started from the second the buildings came down. And that's what most people who are close by observed. And so it's a natural way to interpret the event that you're seeing. And in fact, the idea that it was a structural failure caused by fires was really introduced afterwards, you know, in the hours after these buildings went down. That's when you start to see the media saying, oh, it looks like it was a structural failure. It looks like the airplanes and the fires caused it. And all the reporters who were on the ground saying that it was an explosion, their accounts were ignored by their colleagues in the studios and so on. So I think
a lot of those reporters' footage has been really blocked and hard to find, right? So the official, a lot of these reporters who were there on the ground at the time, one of my colleagues at Fox News standing there on the ground talking about explosions and interviewing eyewitnesses and first responders about explosions that they were hearing. Good luck trying to find those videos today. Thank God for Twitter being able to resurface some of them, but you will not find them on the official news websites of the broadcast networks that initially aired those interviews, right?
Oh yeah, you can't find them anywhere related to the, you know, Fox News or any of the other channels that aired them. You can find them on our website, our YouTube channel. You can find them on the websites of other our colleagues and our community who are still researching this and trying to get to the bottom of what happened that day and get the truth out and hold some people accountable. So it is still out there in certain places that are preserving it.
I mean, at the heart of this is the families, it's the people that lost their lives, and they were sold a bill of goods. They were sold lies, right? That this was brought down by terrorists who hijacked airplanes. And we know that nothing could be further from the truth. And this is, I think, why you've dedicated your life to getting answers for the families. What have you heard from the families, any of the victims' families in the wake of this new footage? And what have they said about this?
You know, I haven't communicated with anybody, any family members specifically about this new footage. I've been in touch with a couple family members for other reasons, other projects that we're working on, including the inquest, the Campbell family, the family of Jeff Campbell trying to open a new inquest in the UK. But not about this footage. I'm sure they've seen it. And, you know, for those families who've been fighting for almost 23 years to get the truth, you know, this the footage for them is nothing new, but I think it helps to see that it'll encourage them that tens of millions of people are seeing this footage for the first time. And that's the dominant discussion. You know, if you were on X or on another platform, it's not just, oh, hey, we found some new video of 9/11, this important event from 20 years ago. It's, oh, there's this new footage. And the dominant discussion is, it looks like a controlled demolition. What are those flashes? You know, so that's really, it is a positive event.
Well, Ted Walter, we appreciate you joining us again. He's the executive director for International Center for 9/11 Justice. You can go to their YouTube channel. Can you name your YouTube channel so people can go check out some of these additional videos if they want to do more of a deep dive?
Yeah, I think if you search IC911 on YouTube, you'll find us. And IC911.org is the website where you can also find a lot of this material.
Ted, great to see you. Thank you so much for the great work as always.
It's great to be with you, Clayton. Thank you for having me back. And thanks for all the work that you do as well.